Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to HJT Design Radio Straight Talk, a show dedicated to exploring all aspects of creating a great dental office, where the only dumb question is the question that's not asked. Here's Jim and Han.
Good evening, Jim Jervis here, along with my co-host Han Tron. Han, how are you this evening?
I am doing great, Jim. I'm doing great. By the way, it's raining and dogs and cats down there. So the weather is not as nasty as you guys up there, but we have our share down here. But I'm doing great. Yourself?
Oh, that's good. We had just a little bit of dusting and snow, and actually the weatherman this evening was talking about winter starting pretty soon, and it's not been too awful bad, so I guess we shouldn't complain. Well, tonight's show is interesting. Obviously, Straight Talk episode number 56, titled coordination or logistics. This is our last show of the 2019 year, and Han and I were talking about what we'd like to speak about tonight. And we came to the conclusion that we like to kind of tie all of the shows that we've done over the last year into one kind of discussion. And the discussion is such that, well, we're not here to scare you. And I guess there, you know, obviously we talk about a lot of things and we put a lot of things out over the radio here. And it's not done purposely to scare you. It's done in such a way, at least we hope we are, to provide information. Our goal is to be informative and to help you to be a more informed client, to understand what really is involved when you do this kind of stuff. Developing and designing and eventually building a dental practice is complicated. It's a complicated task. More than likely, you're going to only do it once or twice in your career. I mean, there's some that have done it two or three or four times, and that's fine. But usually once or twice is the most that you're going to do something like this. It's out of your norm. It's not what's taught in dental school. And so, you know, it's new and it's foreign. It can be extremely stressful. But we wanted to talk about the tasks. We wanted to talk about who does what, the where and the how. The thing that we utilize that's most important to us is the process. That process is a roadmap. It's a roadmap that will successfully get you from point A to point B. At point A, of course, is the inception of the project. The point B is a culmination where you move in and how you get from one to the other. So, you know, tonight we want to talk about all those kind of things and how this all ties together. So, Han, you know, coordination or logistics, what the heck, how did we come up with a title like that?
Well, you know, we'll try. Some may say this is thematic, okay, whether it's logistic or coordination, but I think there is a very defined definition for both in the process of designing and building it. Let me step back for a second before we really get into the weeds of the discussion. Is that I have personally been reached in private messages insinuating that what we discuss could be deemed as fear-mongering. And I guess if your intention is noble, and you're trying to educate or share information so that those who are starting on the journey of formulating their own process to pursue their American dream of having their own business, their own practice, and all that could learn something from other people's experience and mistakes and so on. If they learn and they make good decisions and stuff like that, then we did a good job. Fear-mongering so that we may drive some traffic to, into our front door. No, that was not the intent. Nor is that something that we do intend. No, that we do to gain more business. We spent a fair amount of time on individual basis for people we don't even know. They call and they have questions. We give them the information they need and they vanish. We're almost like magicians, I guess. And, it's still our time. It's time, knowledge, we share it. We don't get compensated for those time, but I think there's gratification and satisfaction of doing something that you believe in and that can benefit total strangers without asking for compensation. So our intent is, again, is not to to scare you, but if you are approaching and trying to, trying to learn and spend the money, a lot of money, in putting together a practice, if you're not scared in some way, I'd be concerned, because it could be very intimidating, it could be very costly if you don't know what you're doing, it could all be very very stressful when you make mistakes. So here it's a learning opportunity. So I hope that's what we can bring to the table for you, or present so that it can benefit you in some way, hopefully in a major way. Okay. So the topic of the evening, the discussions, logistics, and coordination. The term coordination is very common in our line of work. It's basically, you have discussion with your team, who gets to do what and when, what is to expect and so on. So that is an ongoing development throughout the entire project. Let's say you're building a from the ground up practice, and the coordination process would be, between us and the civil engineer. They may go, hey, how big is the building? What is the shape of the building? Where do you want to place it? What is the ideal placement? And what do we have in terms of parking and yada, yada, yada? So you're brainstorm and you coordinate and all that, and that goes between all members of the team, including the owner, okay? As the project owner, the coordination between your entire team and you are pretty crucial too. But I like to give more time to the term logistics, because we find that to be an area that there seems to be little attention is given to it, but it play a crucial part in the entire project. How often do we do project where we ask things like, okay, who is your supplier? And the answer is, I haven't picked one yet. So if we're designing a building, we have a good idea how big a space you need in terms of the size of the treatment room, the size of your mechanical closet, the size of your med-gas closet, the size for your x-ray equipment, and so on. So those we have general ideas, and it can be fine-tuned once all the information needs. But the crucial information is it has to do with the engineering. The flow of information, where is it, who's responsible for it, where does it come from, and why is it needed? Let me see. A friend, George, often say, assume nothing. That's a great piece of advice. When we do projects, there is guidelines that we have to follow. There's regulatory that we have to requirement that we have to meet. There are codes. There's all kind of stuff that we have to adhere to, so we don't just make off the cuff assumption. We need information that we can design around. It could be as basic as where, you know, what kind of delivery system are you going to use? What type of practice are you trying to build? What kind of treatment plan, you know, what kind of treatment would you perform here? And so on and so on. So the answers of those simple questions play a big role in the way the building is designed. The information is who's responsible for what? You as the owner. That's where the information starts. If you haven't done your homework, you haven't put your business plan together, you have not defined what your ultimate goal is for whatever locations you're at, then the flow of information would be hampered because you don't know. And if you don't know, the rest of your team would not have sufficient information to do their design. So logistics play an important part of the process because it deals with the flow of information.
Right. And Han, that's why we use, you know, in our process, our very first step in the process is the questionnaire that we give out that pulls together as much information as we can get to start. A lot of times when a new client looks at that thing, they can't fill out all the questions and items that are on that because they don't know. But at least it's a listing of the questions that need to be asked. It's not all of them, it's a beginning to start the overall logistics of what we want to pull together. That roadmap that needs to be created. And because, trust us, there is no one out there that has a complete defined roadmap of exactly what they want and how they want it, and they have it all pulled together and then they hand it over to a design team. I've never seen a project like that in my 30 plus years of experience in doing this, and it just doesn't exist because 9 times out of 10, you don't even know the question to ask. That's why you hire the professionals like ourselves to help you define what those things are, to define that program, to define that business plan that you're talking about. Everything from, and we've talked about some of this stuff in previous shows, but you know, everything as to, all right, you want to do 6 or 7 operatories today, but what do you want to do tomorrow? What do you want to do 10 years from now? What's your doctor profile look like? What's your staffing profile look like? Well, you may say, well, I'm a single doc now, but I'd like to see an associate or maybe two. Well, what does that mean in the way of operatories and the ability to expand? What does that mean as to your hours? What does that mean as to the other staff necessary to do that? And then how does that translate into a building? So, I like to call it the dance between the ideas of what you would like to have accomplished, and then how does that translate into a physical built environment that is designed in such a way that it's extremely efficient and does all the things that you need it to do and helps you to fulfill your ultimate goal, which was the idea of this is what I want to have as my practice. Huh?
Yep. The what prompted this discussion is a is a ongoing project that we have, and I find it not unusual because we run into it quite a bit actually. Who make the decision? Who's responsible for giving that decision? One of the questions we asked of our client was, who is the supplier? Do you have one? And she said, yes. I say, have you signed the, the contract agreement on equipment purchase? Yes. I say, what have been provided to you in terms of information, specification, and the layout of your office and where everything's going to go? The answer is nothing. I say, okay, so who have had that conversation? Well, it would have been with the contractor. And I say, it sounds like the cart was put way in front of the horse. Because if the owner of the project is buying equipment and the seller of the equipment have not provided anything to their client, the project owner, but would provide would have discussions of where the equipment will be placed, what's needed, and so on, with the contractor that have not been hired or been awarded the contract, it is absolutely a convoluted scenario.
Well, it's ripe. It's ripe for a bunch of conflicts. It's ripe for things being improperly placed. It's a ripe environment for the nasty word called change orders. And obviously our goal and what Han is getting at very quickly, in the sense that you don't want to have communication like that so that you lose control, the logistical control of that information. It needs to be properly processed and disseminated through the team. So at the right time, at the right place, so that the team can do what they need to do at the right time and right place. Han, you and I were talking about how it is so easy, relatively speaking, to make adjustments, to revise locations of things during the design process. Obviously, sooner than later, it's easier. As we get to the end of the design process and onto working drawings, then it gets a little more complicated, but still can be done. That's the time to make those kind of adjustments, not when you're out in the field and the thing is under construction, and then all of a sudden, okay, here's the coordination documents for this equipment, and it's the underground is in the wrong place, or there isn't any underground for that equipment. Those things are disastrously expensive.
Not just expensive in terms of dollars, you will lose time. It would go into a spiral. The logistic of information, sometimes information flow, if you, the owner, don't have it because it's in the work, your design team could still do the bulk of the work and prepare for the information that are coming. It's great if you as you plan the project, say, okay, this is the chair that I like. This is where the equipment's gonna. This is a type of accessory that's gonna be mounted on a chair. I want to have this on the ceiling. So you have like a shopping list. Ultimately, at this location, I'm going to have 7 treatment room. So I need this vacuum and this compressor. So I'm going to have nitrous, so and all that. So all those things can be prepared for. Your engineering team. Okay, particularly the electrical. There is energy conservation guideline requirement that they have to adhere to, so they just don't go off on their own and do things and hope it turn out. Your equipment has certain electrical and power requirement. Everything that you put into your building need to be accounted for. It's getting more stringent in power conservation and stuff like that, that they do not have too much wiggle room. So the more information that you have starting out, the better and more efficient that your team can work. Jim is correct, and we advocate that the way the design process works is the engineers are often not hired onto the team to do the design work at the same time that the building layout is put together. They usually, at least in our experience, they usually come onto the project once the building has been laid out, so that they know what they need to do. They know the budget for the compensation that's required for them to do work, because they don't design buildings. They design a system to fit into the building or a building design, and so they are not not in the habit, or do we want to put them in the situation where they design building systems to support the design of the space at the same time that we do our work. So the more information that that we have, there should be plenty of time for once we start the discussion about formulating the office. At that time, you should have that conversation with your supplier so that they can start to generate the equipment. They can put together the equipment list and stuff like that. For us, most of the time, we create the building, and then we give that file to the supplier to work with, so they don't, they're not involved in the formulating the building per se. But there's a lot of information that can be gathered, finalized. At the beginning of the design phase, the changes that Jim talked about, yes, it is ideal to make design changes or even equipment changes at the start of the project. The farther you go into the project, the more costly, not difficult, but costly, because once we bring the engineer on board, they start to calculate and design around the layout of the building already. So once you change the building, it affects their work. When it affects their work, they would ask for more compensation. That's the way we do things in the U.S., okay? I've ever been involved in one project for a German client where they say, you quote me for the fees, that's what it is from start to finish, no matter how much we change our mind. That doesn't work in the United States very well. So changes, it's going to cost you, okay? It costs you a little bit at the beginning, but it costs you a lot more down the road, because there's so many, everybody on the team would have to update their work, update their design, and all that stuff. And it gets worse when you start building it, because not just the construction of the project, but the actual documentation of what had been changed, what is being changed in the field, will have to be also be current for the rest of the construction crew. Building official will want that as well. It becomes a legal living document that have to be correct as much as it can possibly be. Jim?
Right, exactly. So, you know, that's the reason why we put so much emphasis on the right individual, i.e. the architect, leading this orchestra, being the quarterback, as one would say, on this group, this team that's trying to get down the, you know, get down the field and get this thing accomplished. Because there's so much from a logistics standpoint that has to be covered, that has to be coordinated. So coordination is just a small component of logistics. The logistical process that we're talking about is, where is this piece? Who is taking care of it? Where is that piece? Who's taking care of that? Who's responsible for getting that information? And then once that data or that information or those selections are made, then it has to be distributed. And who does it get distributed to? Well, the first question is, okay, is it something that's approved? Let's use an example. Let's say that we're talking about four or five different finishes on the exterior of the building. And each one of them are slightly different. There's a different type and obviously different sets of colors. Well, it's a different system if you're going to put brick on a building as opposed to if you're going to put siding, or if you're going to put stucco or some other material, whatever that might be, some high-tech material like a metal skin or something like that. Each wall system is different. Well, the other ramification is that, well, that affects the window. How does the window fit within that? How does the door fit within that? You don't want to leave that up to a builder to figure out in the field, because you've lost control of the overall process and you have no idea what you're going to get. That's in our mind, that's the scariest scenario that you don't want to have happen. And that's just a simple example. There's much more complicated examples, everything from heating and air conditioning systems. Well, there's dozens of different heating and air conditioning systems. There's rooftop units. There's units that are in attics. There's units that are in basements. There's units that are in little closets. There's units that are outside that sit on ground. There's gas-fired units. There's electric-fired units. There's heat pumps. There's just a ton of different things. And then each one of them have to be integrated into your building to function properly. Well, the electrical requirement on a heat pump is totally different than the electrical requirement on a gas-fired air conditioning rooftop unit. The engineer, of course, will help in making some of those selections, because they give you the outputs and say, well, this is a very efficient unit, or that's not a very efficient unit, or whatever. But eventually, you'll make the decision on what you would like to accomplish. And there's an aesthetic component. Do you want to see units on top of your roof that are exposed, or do they have to be screened, or does the code say it has to be screened? Local zoning ordinances a lot of time require that. Aesthetically, you may say, I don't want to see that ugly looking thing sticking up there, so find a way to cover it up or hide it. the logistics
Jim, if you put something on the roof, from a static standpoint, you may have to put one of those butt ugly ladders to get up there.
Well, you've got the code requirement of one of those, as Hans said, the butt ugly ladder sticking up there. Then there's the other part about it. You put something on the roof. Was the structure of the roof system designed to hold it up? Well, that's a question. You can't just throw things into locations without the coordination, but mostly the logistics of how these things go together. So there has to be roof structure, there have to be beams, there have to be columns to be able to support that piece of equipment that's up there. And again, that's just one of multitude of things that are in your building. So it is your dental equipment, without a doubt, because it's very complicated stuff. And that adds to the complexity of a dental office. That's why Han and I say that dental offices are probably one of the most complicated structures and projects that can be done out there because they got so much stuff in them. But there's tons of other things, plumbing requirements, toilets, urinals, faucets, sinks, you name it, and air changing units, everything you can think of all has to be properly integrated. Huh?
Yeah. Besides the equipment, there is the intangible issues or element of a dental office that we have to address too. A lot of it has to do with noise. Circulation and all that stuff, but noise is one of the biggest complaints. The logistic issue could be really, really simple, could have rather disastrous side effects. Okay, because we talk about coordination, communication. Communication play a big role in everything we do. Coordination matters. For instance, this is up for debate, but this is strictly based on our experience. And Jim can contribute to this too. Like that, I'm always been told. I've read on people's input on discussions and stuff like that. Is that just ask your builder. They know what to do. We find that to be a misguided recommendation. To assume that your contractor or your builder know what to do would leave a lot of room for bad decisions. Okay? For instance, contractors, there's a lot of good out there, and I'm not taking anything away from them. Because of the complexity of projects and stuff like that, we have no idea where they've been or what they do. Some are really, really good people with exceptional background that have done complicated projects and so on. And once in a while, you get blessed with a home builder who tells you that they can build Taj Mahal with one arm, more power to it. But we find that the design component of your project, including your architect, your civil engineer, your structural engineer, mechanical, electrical, plumbing engineer, and all that, they solve the design problems. Put it into coordinate everything, make sure everything works to the best of their ability, and put it down into a set of document that your contractor work from. Okay, contractor, if they are not familiar with a building system, they will ask your design component on your team what it is. They are responsible for the means and method of the construction of your project. When they bid on the project, I hope that they're intelligent enough, wise enough, that they do a little bit of research to find out that hybrid system that are designed in your building that they're not familiar with, that they can get familiar with. So that way they're not bidding on a project and then give you that whine, that little bit of whining mode that they didn't, they did not include that into the bid, or they didn't anticipate doing that in your, you know, on your project, and start, and then start to tear the design and the quality of the design and the system that have been selected to make your office unique, or higher performance and stuff like that. So here I have just a small example. The term rain screen system is foreign to a lot of people still. A lot of contractors have no idea what we're talking about. So when a project is bid with a rain screen system, which basically it is a finished material, the assembly of the finished material on your building. They take advantage of the thermodynamic and moisture control and things like that that are that your building is exposed to. If the contractor is not familiar with it, he's going to majorly screw up, because they're going to go and suggest, and they're going to start to badmouth things that they don't know. And then next thing you do is you become, you are exposed to a little bit of fear mongering. Instead of going to, this is where the logistic issue is important. The communication on systems, on the technical aspect of your building project, should be discussed from between the contractor and your design team, so that there is clarification of what's expected. They get an education on the things that they have commit to building for the price that they commit themselves to. If they go to you and they say, hey, the architects or the engineer don't know what they're doing, and they specify or design a system that that are inferior and so on and so on, I can save you money and yada yada, and next thing you got, you basically got a house with the very standard vinyl siding stuff, and because that's what they're familiar with, and so you still pay for a premium material, premium design, and you get just a standard stuff. So the logistic of communication should be between the appropriate member of your team. You, particularly the owner, are not trained in this area. You do not want to be the one that are guiding the technical aspect of your building. You're not doing yourself any favor if you're the one who's leading the discussion. Okay? A small example. I was on a project, and the contractor say, the granite is coming tomorrow. Now, we are the architects on the project. And as far as we know, we didn't select it or specify any granite on the project. Everything is designed around solid material and plastic laminate. Granite is heavier, and it needs to have certain support. And what happened? Well, the logistics of communication got messed up somewhere. The owner communicated with the contractor, and we were not informed of that decision. So everything that was designed to be carried by brackets now have to be supported differently, because a different material was selected or was decided upon, and the communication did not go to the entire team. Okay, that's just a small logistic issue. It's not, yeah, you can say it's coordination or communication, but, you know, they are kind of interchangeable. If you're buying material, or you're buying equipment, if you have multiple sources, who is responsible for accepting the shipment? Who is responsible for the installation? When and where and all that stuff need to be part of the logistic discussion. Otherwise, you're going to have a pretty messy issue on your project when 4 or 5 or 8 crates or pallets delivered to your front door before it's ready. Okay, so logistics is quite important. Jim?
Yeah. In your example of the granite countertop being substituted and replaced, that obviously was done at the wrong time. That was done during construction. So
yep.
When the contractor said the granite's going to be here tomorrow, that means everything else has been built and ready for the granite countertops to be installed. Well, as Han said, it wasn't designed for that. So that becomes a very expensive decision that was made unilaterally between you, meaning the dentist, and the contractor without integrating the necessary design team so that you could make a more educated decision. If you would have made that decision back before the material was even ordered, or back before the superstructure, like the supports or the brackets, were installed, it would have been a much easier revision. So I guess one of our biggest pet peeves is you've got to integrate the necessary people in decision-making processes, because these things snowball. They go beyond snowballing. They can explode into a nuclear reactive meltdown. And again, I'm not fear-mongering in here, but at the same time, I want to put the fear in you, in the sense that you can make some disastrous decisions not even knowing that you've made a disastrous decision that will cost you a lot of money. Because once you're in the construction field and you're out there doing things and you're putting things together, it becomes extremely expensive to make changes. It's not just a simple thing here and there. Like, well, I just changed the countertops from plastic laminate to granite in this particular location. That can be disastrously expensive. And you need to know that. Preferably make that decision a lot sooner so that it doesn't blow up in your face, but at least know that when you make that decision to make that change. So by integrating us specifically in that decision-making processes, we'll be able to identify those things. We'll be able to say, well, Doc, if you want to do that structure that's holding up that front desk has to be upgraded to the point that it can take the weight of your granite countertop. There has to be possibly steel brackets underneath to be able to hold it up, all that kind of stuff. And they have to be installed in this kind of configuration, and know all of that, because it may not be that simple of a thing. Well, the contractor came to you and said, I've got this special buy on granite that I can get in here, and I thought it'd be really nice if we could put granite on this countertop over here. What do you think? It's a scary proposition, and you can spend tens of thousands of dollars in a heartbeat, way more than our fee, in literally one bad decision.
Well, what would you say though, Jim? The answer, you know, if a contractor comes to you and say, hey, I had a project, a large project, and we have, we have leftover product that I thought you could use it on this project. You know, the granite, they're nice, and we can integrate into the project. If you're the owner, okay, you have to understand this. The people or the party that's responsible for building the project, it's your contractor. There's no debate. Okay? The individual or the party that is responsible for the technical and code compliance and the design of your building is who? the architects and the engineers. So if there is benefit in integrating that new material to the project and it doesn't cost you anything more for the material, fantastic. But the response to that question would be, have you brought this up to the architect? Let's bring them into this discussion and see what is the ramification, if any. Okay? Because the architect...
Give our listeners a really great example of this, that when it was done right. We had a facility that was being built just south of us here. And during the design process, the exterior of the building was intended to be brick. And that's basically what the decision was made. And we were moving forward. Everything was designed in such a way that it could be brick. And in the beginning of the construction, the walls were being created, the foundation systems were being created, all for brick. So you have the necessary structure underneath to be able to hold it up, and sporadic angles are necessary for that. The contractor came to the owner and said, I have this stone panel product that I can get relatively inexpensive, and wondered if you would like to utilize that on the project. The first thing the owner said was, get the architect involved. We looked at it. We identified how it was to be installed. And these were nice big panels of stone that were literally 2 feet by 3 feet and 4 inches thick. And so we looked at, and remember, we're under construction now. The foundations are in, and the walls are being, superstructure of the walls are going up. And so we evaluated. We evaluated it. We determined what had to be changed, which was a few things, basically anchors and flashing details and that kind of stuff, and how it would lay out around the perimeter, the building, what would it look like, because there were a couple, two or three types of stone, one which was very smooth, another was very rough, and we put in some decorative stone area at a water table and that kind of stuff. All of that was done in the proper sequence, but here's the other part, that we wouldn't have been involved in that decision-making process, and they just used the builder and said, go ahead and do that. All of that changes to the exterior had to go back to the planning and zoning folks who approved the exterior look of the building for a reapproval. Now, if they wouldn't have done that, the ramifications could have been pretty costly, in the sense that if they wouldn't have got approval, they wouldn't have been able to get an occupancy, or they would have gotten fined, or they got a stop work order. I mean, it's just bad stuff happens. But the point in fact is, we knew that it had to be approved and had to go back to them. They got approval. Everything went smoothly. The new product was placed in there. And it's been there 10, 11 years now, and looks like the day it was placed. And the product was a great substitution done in the right sequence. Logistically, it worked perfectly. The owner ended up getting a very, very, very attractive product for the exterior of her building at a inexpensive price. So the system works if you do it the right way. Hon?
The proposed substituted product was compatible in terms of installation as brick. So it was a
relatively, yes. Yeah.
On the opposite spectrum of this discussion, we have a project where the design was done for a rain screen system onto a building that it doesn't require to have foundation support because it's attached to the wall. And a proposed change after the foundation and all that was in place, pour in place and all that stuff, was to go to a brick type of material, a brick and stone material, which required to have structural support to carry it. That is at the opposite end of the discussion, because now you're talking about money, big money. You're talking about a major change in the structure component of the building, all the detailing for windows and what have you. It was, it was, again, this is changes done after construction started, way after construction started. And it was very costly. Okay, so
two ways it cost, Hana. It cost in construction material changes, but it also cost greatly in a major delay in the completion of the project. Because it had to go back through approval as well for planning and zoning. And the whole issue of redesigning and detailing the structure to be able to hold up this new material had to be accomplished, had to then be priced, had to be approved, had to be installed. All of that costs time and delays the opening of your building. Now, we've had this discussion before. Every operatory should be looking at $25,000 to $30,000 a month for an operatory. So you have 10 ops, and, so you're looking at $250,000 to $300,000 a month. Delay the project a month, that's $300,000 you just threw down the toilet. And the delay that we're talking about, well over a month. So it's real. I mean, we're not trying to, I hate to use the word fear-mongering again, but this stuff is real. It happens, and you have to, you have to be so careful.
Well, you have to be decisive. On one of our, punchline on our straight talk discussion is, the only dumb question is the question you don't ask. Okay, so when you have the discussions, you're involved in the project, this is your building, you're paying for it. If you don't understand something, you're not sure, ask. All right, do the entire team are composed of people who are pretty experienced in what they do. Contrary to some belief, the architects know more than the builder. Okay, we don't just dream up of buildings. We investigate, research, and a lot of times the system that we use on the building had been well tested in buildings that we've done in the past. If you are being entertained to save a few dollars here or there, and not knowing that it'll cost you thousands in the long run, you should talk to your team first before giving the nod to the contractor, because overall, before the contractor can actually build anything, your architects and engineer have to provide design documents. They're responsible for it. So logically, they should be the parties that you have the discussions about the idea or the thought. about changing or your decisions. But make your decision early and stick with it and stay with it. Because down toward the end of the project, as you start to break ground and all the components is putting together and things like that, it will be very costly. And more than just money. Okay, like Jim says, that you can never recoup that time loss, because those times are huge money. Okay, so.
And in that particular case, Anna, I wanted to clarify too. In that particular case, where you're talking about the brick being substituted in, that was a decision that was made between the owner and the builder. And we weren't integrated in that decision until after the decision was made during construction. And
well, see, the main thing is...
That's one of the issues.
Yeah, the main thing is the building doesn't get designed. The material doesn't get picked and placed on your, you know, on your building without your consent, because you're the owner. You are brought into the discussion. Here is what is being thought of to finish off your building. Do you have any questions? Here's the supporting material. Here's the samples of the material. Check things out. If you're not comfortable with it, you're not sure of it, let's have the discussion. Do look at something else. Sometimes the decisions are based on aesthetic. Sometimes it's based on environmental ideology. Sometimes it's based on money. Sometimes based on availability and schedule. So all that logistical stuff, that all that coordination stuff, need to be, be discussed, confirmed, and decided on, and stick with it. All right. Sometimes things happen. Let's say you selected a certain material, and some world global crisis happened, and that material become unavailable for 3 years down the road. Well, what's next? Okay, but those are rare. Everything that are decided on to a project, that decisions are usually made during the design development, and finalized as the drawings and everything is put together, not after it goes to construction. Okay, changes of building configurations, office locations. Let me see. I get this a lot. Why does it take so much time to simply, or cost so much to simply move a wall? Well, let me say, if you subdivide a space, you change the requirement for mechanical, you add electrical, you add walls, doors, windows, and you change the pattern of traffic. It affects life, safety, and health of the occupant and how that space is used. So it's not simply, I'm just moving a wall. I mean, it's just like simply saying to your patient, hey, we're going to take this wisdom tooth and we're going to put it on the side of your face or your mouth. That sounds ridiculous, but that's the kind of stuff we hear all the time. Okay? Every little thing that are considered should be discussed. Every little change has effects, some in a big way, and some may not have any effects, but it does. Everything needs to be discussed. Everything needs to be discussed with your team before it gets executed, because the decision that's put into the hand of your contractor without your team, in my opinion, may not serve you well. And we find that to be held true in lots and lots of scenarios. Jim?
Yeah. Well, over the last year, Han and I have hopefully been able to impart a whole lot of information. You can go back and catch all our podcasts like I said, they're at our website, they're on Blog Talk Radio, and they're on our YouTube channel. And there's everything you can think of, in all kinds of topics, questions and answers. Last year was a really exciting, I think, year for us in regards to the show. We talked about everything from site selection, process, team, how best to, you know, what kind of construction methodology you want to use as in a delivery method. We talked about zoning and code issues, the imagery, your first impression, what kind of unique things do you run into when you're trying to do a startup? You just name it. From A to Z, I think we covered quite a lot of things. And we hope that it was informative. We look forward to next year to really even adding more to this. Obviously, Han and I really like the question and answer programs. So keep those coming. Those are fun. But at the same time, I think we feel they're even more informative because they're actually dealing with maybe a specific question that you have. So, you know, go to our website. Throw that question in there, email it to us. If you have a question, feel free to call us. We're here to help. We'd love to be able to address that. I know we've seen a major uptick in the requests for people that want to talk to us. And that's great. I mean, we're excited about that because that means that, well, I think Han and I are doing a good job. We're excited about that, and I'm not trying to, you know, toot our own horn, but it's fulfilling that, you know, this takes time for us, and, you know, we work pretty hard to prepare for these shows, and we're glad to do it because, Han, we talked about this a lot, haven't we? But an educated, informed client is a really pleasure to work with. And
I'll take a little step further. Well informed and educated client, we love you guys.
Yeah, and girls. Yeah, you guys are just it's wonderful to work with you. Now, we'll work with anybody, because that's what our goal is, to help everybody we can. But you know, it's like, you know, take this stuff as a knowledge base, and you know, we're sorry if we come off occasionally as we're lecturing, because that's not the case. We don't want to do that. And sometimes Han and I are pretty dry about this stuff because, you know, we eat, sleep, and drink it, and a lot of times it kind of, you know, is portrayed accidentally as, you know, that we're very jaded and we're very austere about this. We're not. So, you know, if you don't understand something, or if you're working with us or any other design professional, whoever that might be, if you don't understand something, ask. That is so true. There is no dumb question. Because if you don't understand
except
the question you don't ask, like our information at the front of our, in the end of our program. But yeah, if you don't ask the question, then it's on you. Ask the question. And
now,
go ahead on.
I would encourage you. We are embarking into 2020. We are, both Jim and I, are open to ideas. If there's topics that you would like to learn more about, you know, feel free to reach out to us and say, hey, I'd like to hear a little bit more discussion about this or that. We can't help you to be better dentists or do better clinical stuff, but we probably pass you along to, you know, to Dr. Hunsinger, and he can talk shop with you pertaining to what you can do in the operatory. But any other topic about your building, the design, and things like that, we'll be happy to, you know, to have the discussion, make it one of our topic of discussion and things like that. So all of us, can learn. Okay, and now this is fun stuff. All right, yeah, we both of us, because we enjoy the topic, we enjoy the discussion, and I can speak for Jim as well, is that we enjoy sharing and teaching, the things that we have learned through the years, both good and bad. So that way, you don't have to, you don't have to discover the unpleasant tree on your own. You can avoid it. Okay, Jim?
Yep. So without a doubt, we've gone a few minutes over. We want to just wish everybody a great and safe holiday season. We're looking forward to jumping into this full bore come January with our new show series. There's going to be a lot of exciting stuff. I'm going to leave it at that. But with that, thank you. Thank you for listening. Thank you for putting up with us. And we just look forward to next year's series of shows. Han?
All right. Again, we spent an hour, a little bit more, with you on the air. Appreciate you spending the evening with us or the hour with us. I wish everybody a happy holiday and a happy new year. And until then, have a great evening.
You've been listening to HJT Design Radio Straight Talk with Jim and Han. To contact us and find out more info about upcoming shows, please log on to our website at www.hjtdesign.com. Until next time.